The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
Or Ray at RTE.ie. Now, I'm joined in studio by three sisters. We have Katie Ann, Aisling, and Charlotte. Good afternoon.
Hi, Ray.
And they're the O'Toole sisters. From whereabouts are you from?
Ballintubber in County Roscommon.
Originally from Leixlip.
Originally, yeah.
From Leixlip, yeah. Right. Now, yours is a sad story in that if everybody was alive, there would be seven brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But there's only four of you left.
Yes.
So you've lost three along the way.
Yes.
Okay, two brothers and a sister. So where do we start? I suppose we'll start with little Declan. Sorry, little David. Little David first. Sorry?
Declan,
that was right the first time. Yes, that was right the first time. Little Declan. So Declan was seven.
Yeah.
Okay, so you tell me about him, Katie-Ann.
Yeah, so Declan was diagnosed with a brain tumour in November. And he was seven. And at the time, there were six of us children between the ages of 3 up to 13. And he had a lot of treatment, so we would have been in and out of hospitals with him. We would have been going to appointments with him, he also went to America to get treatment. Okay. But he actually passed away then on May 10th in 1996, so he had just turned seven.
Just turned seven.
Yeah.
What age were you, Charlotte, at that stage?
I was three.
Right.
So I was with him at the hospital appointments, and I travelled to America with him. There was a two-year age gap, two and a half.
And what are your memories then of that time?
I suppose I remember I remember being in the house and him being there and always going in to kiss him and cuddle him. And then I remember him not being there.
Yeah.
But it didn't really affect me until later on in life, until I was in college and I became very vulnerable. And because when I was younger, like we'll say neighbours would constantly be nice and say, oh, you smile just like Declan, or you just,
yes,
you look like Declan, or you done something that reminded me like Declan. But I kind of took that in my inner head, like, oh, okay, Declan is better than me. I need to replace. If I go, Declan will replace me. So I struggled for about 3 or 4 years with schizophrenia and psychosis from Declan's death.
Right. Isn't it mad the way the brain works? Because you were only three and a half.
Yeah.
And from the outside, people looking in probably thought that it had no effect on you whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't really manifest itself until you were...
Yeah, exactly.
What age? 18, 19?
18, just going to college.
Right.
And I couldn't understand it either until now, looking back, I'm like, oh, it did actually affect me.
Yes.
Massively.
And Aisling, you're the eldest in the family.
Yeah.
Right.
I am, yeah.
So what age were you when Declan died?
So I was 13. So I would have been considered the second mammy, I think. And before Declan was sick, we had an ideal childhood and a very typical childhood. Daddy went out to work, mummy stayed at home, and we were very, very family orientated, very, very happy. Declan was diagnosed with his brain tumour, and overnight things changed. And me being the eldest, I suppose I was told a lot. I have to say our parents were brilliant. They really, really informed us all the way. So other people would come into the house and think that they knew more than the children. And me being the eldest would get so annoyed at that. And I'd be like, I know what's going on, so you don't have to hide things from me. But I would have minded the rest of the kids while our parents were out at the hospital with Declan.
And people say that everyone grieves differently.
Yeah.
And they have their own journey with grief.
Yeah.
One of the things that you said to Jen was that as children, people don't consider you so much in the grieving process. It's more about your parents.
It's all about your parents. And look, right, we're not here to sit here and say our journey is worse than those. I don't think there is anything worse that can happen than losing a child. So we completely understand that. But in that, what's really, really difficult is you as a child losing your parent, losing the person that they were, fear coming into your house, trauma coming into your house. And we do, each one of us, like there was six of us left I was the eldest, 13 down to 3. We had a really, really different journey of grief. And I have to say, year one, that a lot of people would be terrified about and say is the worst, was actually the easiest. You have so much support, you have so many people looking out for you. Roll on a couple of years down the line, and each one of us siblings went down a different journey. Some of us cope better. Us here actually probably cope better than some of the others. And when you're watching your younger brother or sister trying to cope and they're acting out or they're really sad, and you as a person and as a child or a teenager, you don't really know what's going on either.
You don't understand.
You don't know how to fix it, and you can't fix it. But
okay, so 20 years on, well not, 20 years on in 2016 then.
Yeah.
Jacinta.
Yeah.
What age was Jacinta?
She was 30.
30.
Yeah.
And was it very sudden?
Yeah, so it was just after Christmas. It was the beginning of January. And we had had a really, really wonderful Christmas. We, after 20 years of grieving Declan, it was continuous. But this year, something magical happened and we actually had a lovely, lovely Christmas day and Christmas week. So me and Charlotte decided to go to Knock and say thanks to God and say, like, thanks for giving us an amazing Christmas and please give us more. And as we drove home, when we got home, we realised that Jacinta was in Ballinasloe Hospital. So what had happened was that morning she woke up with a really bad headache and she went down to her room because she was feeling really bad. And both of our parents went down to the room to see, was she okay? And after a few minutes of talking, she just took one big deep breath in and she put her hands out and that was her last breath. So she died in front of them with a brain aneurysm. So we had some of the neighbours rush in and try to resuscitate her. Aisling was coming back from town and she kept her going through CPR and kept her organs going until the ambulance got there. And at that stage, Aisling said she knew that Jacinta was gone.
I knew she was gone. Yeah. I kept working on her and kept trying to do CPR on her, and because you're hoping against hope, but there was absolutely no response from her eyes or anything. So, but I kind of was like, oh, surely this can't be happening again. So I'm sure once she gets to the hospital, she'll be okay. But I suppose, yeah, I did. I still knew.
And there was no hint.
No. She'd had like a couple of headaches, but nothing that is out of the ordinary, because also everyone had the flu at Christmas. So her eyes were watery and her eyes were puffy and she had a sore head and it wasn't alcohol related.
Yes.
So she just was...
Does that trigger loads of things again?
Oh, it's everything. Pure panic.
Yeah. Terror. Yeah. Absolute terror. Yeah. Like ripped through the house.
Did that change your relationship with God overnight then?
For sure.
I was very holy. Like I was really, really holy. And I was living in Oxford at the time and I was a student, but I would still go to Mass every Sunday. And funny enough, it changed my belief, but at least I was able to take my anger out on God. If you'd ask me now, I'd say I'm more spiritual than religious. But yeah, our mother still goes to Mass every Sunday.
Isn't it unusual, I suppose, for want of a better word, that you had been to Knock to thank God?
We don't know how that happened.
We're not making that up.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't make it up.
Yeah. Like we were sitting there saying thank you and next thing, arrive home to this.
So you mentioned earlier on, and I've just to go back to it a bit, Aisling, that some other members of the family didn't take Declan's death as well, and Fintan was that person.
Yeah.
Where was Fintan in the family?
So Fintan, I'm the eldest and Fintan was next to me. And basically there was two boys, Fintan and Declan, and the rest of us were girls. So Fintan and Declan were absolutely best friends, killed each other, played wrestling together, had their cereal in the morning together, shared their bedroom. They were really good friends. So when Declan died, And when he was sick, as I said, our parents told us everything, so we were very well informed and knew what was going to happen. But it still can't prevent your feelings when it actually does happen. So when Declan died, Fintan kind of withdrew. So he was 12 and he was, I'm not just saying it, but he was beautiful and he had blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin, was into football, massively into reading. So he was always really, really intelligent. And like in school, they said if he applied himself, you know, he could do wonders. But that all fell away. And literally overnight, and Fintan went from bad to worse. He literally, he struggled in himself. He struggled with, I suppose, socialising. He self-harmed. We witnessed an awful lot of things with Fintan. My parents sought as much possible help as they could. But we are going back 20 years ago now.
And it was a different time.
Mental health wasn't
talked about. Spoken about at all, no.
So we didn't know what it was.
Yeah. For a child of 12, 13 to have depression, it wasn't heard of.
No.
Yeah.
Now looking back, we know.
Yes. Yeah.
But then, no.
Yeah. So he went to school and he finished school and everything like that, but he had no interest in anything really. He just...
And he you know, you're saying yourself... harming, depression, and he drank a lot.
Mm.
But he was getting his act together.
Yeah, Fintan...
Before Jacinta died.
I suppose he... he had a part-time job in the Spa Hotel in Lucan, and he used to, when he was 16, 17, he used to get a taxi and he'd get a few cans from work or whatever, and he'd go up to the grave, up to Declan, and he'd sit with Declan for the night and have his cans and talk to him. And he did that a lot, an awful lot. He found coming home, seeing pictures of Declan,
pictures. Yeah, really, really
difficult.
We didn't find that out until his funeral, but we never knew that he didn't like looking at the pictures, whereas our parents and us were like always like, it's nice to have pictures of him around, but he couldn't handle it, he couldn't cope.
But I suppose getting back to what you said there, Ray, he really was, he did for his teenage years and early 20s really live life in a shell. He just didn't really want to be here sometimes, but he kind of put himself out of that, and he actually got a job in as a broadcaster in Athlone Radio, and that really gave him a sense of life and
sense of meaning.
A sense of meaning,
purpose,
and he loved it. So we'd see him then, and he'd be the best we'd ever seen him, and we were like, "Yay, Fintan's coming back, and he's gonna get there eventually. He's gonna be happy."
And then Jacinta died.
Yeah, yeah.
And that knocked him again. For six.
It did knock him, but he continued. The best thing ever was that radio station at Athlone Community Radio. It's incredible, and they became his family and his best friends, and he just loved it there.
What was the family like after Jacinta's death?
We're a really, really close family, so we do get on very well. But we literally, I think we kind of cocoon each other. And
we kind of bubble wrapped each other. Like we would, if I went out on a night out, my mother and father would be waiting for me to come home.
Yeah.
Whereas before it'd be like, I wouldn't be seen for days.
Yes.
But we would just bubble wrap each other.
It's just so much panic, like in the simple things, like really simple. There's just always a feeling of this has happened. And this can happen again.
Yes.
So there's no safety.
And it did happen again.
Yeah.
So, your safety net is completely gone.
So we kind of use
there's no certainty.
No. And it is just full of fear. The house is, we think the house is just like four walls of...
Broken. Just broken. Like even after Declan died, the fear just set in from then, and Daddy even had a triple bypass a couple of years later, and he was only
40,
just gone 40. And the doctor in Blackrock Clinic said that it's a broken heart and there's nothing we can do about that.
So the circumstances then of Fintan's death.
Mm-hmm.
So how long after Jacinta died did he die?
That was about 15 months.
Yeah.
15 months.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And so this is important. Little Declan was buried in Leixlip.
Leixlip, so he was, yeah.
And Jacinta was buried?
In Ballintubber in Roscommon.
Okay. So you used to visit Declan's grave and now you're visiting Jacinta's grave.
Yeah, and we would feel so guilty, like so guilty, if it's Christmas and we're at Jacinta's grave, but we didn't visit Declan. Or if it's Declan's birthday and we don't go down to Leixlip and visit him. You know, the guilt, or even if we're passing on the motorway, the guilt of not going to visit him.
But also that we now had two cemetery Sundays, two blessings of the graves, and there was some times where those dates coincided. Okay. So we would either say, okay, Katie and Charlotte, you go to Jacinta, we'll go to Declan, or all of us go to one place and not the other. And like, you're racked with guilt. Mm. So...
So you came up with a solution.
We came up with a solution and we all sat down around the table and we all agreed with it, and we thought that the best thing going forward was if we exhumed Declan, basically, and brought him to be buried with his sister Jacinta. Declan and Jacinta loved each other and we just wanted them to be together. So we did that. There's a process you have to go through and we did it and it was fine.
We all agreed as a family, this is what we are going to do. And so...
What happens on the day then? He's been buried 20 years previously in Leixlip.
Yeah. Well, we got our funeral director. It was like, he's our neighbour. And it was like, we know what he does and he's amazing at it, because he was brilliant with Jacinta. So we asked him, which is very personal for him as well as a family friend, would he be able to go and bring Declan down for us? So we bought a new white coffin and they went down and they would put up like a sheet. So we weren't there. We went to Liffey Valley and tried to distract ourselves, and they gave us a call when Declan was in the back of the hearse. So we then went to Leixlip, Confey Graveyard, and we followed the coffin down to Ballintubber. And we decided again as a family that we would bring Declan into the house so that he was home. So we brought him in, sat in the sitting room for maybe 2-3 minutes. It was very intense, just our family. And we brought him back around the other door and up to the graveyard and brought him to Jacinta. We had a very small, intimate gathering, just us. A friend of our dad sang a song, "He Ain't Heavy, He's Our Brother," as he lowered down. And it was us and... We had asked Fintan, does he want to come along?
What age is Fintan at this
stage? He's 32.
32, right, okay.
So he said he's not strong enough and he's already watched Declan be buried once and he doesn't want to watch him be buried again. So we said, no problem, that's fine, we'll go down. And he said, I'll see you on Friday. And we said, yeah, that's fine. So we then, Friday... I was at a wedding. Charlotte was gone back to college.
I was in my friend's house in Leixlip. It was the first night, actually, that I said, do you know what, girls? I'm actually going to start living now. We can't do anything more for Jacinta and Declan. They're together now. So I'm going to go to a show in Leixlip and go and see my friends. And I went to the show and I got a phone call at 12 o'clock that night to say Fintan was dead. So basically the guards called to the door in Ballintubber and they said
1 o'clock in the morning.
They said to our dad, your son Fintan has died.
Yeah.
And Daddy was just like, no, no, come on, no.
You must have the wrong person. Not until we went to the morgue where
we were kind of hoping that it was the wrong body. And because Fintan always masked him, he had long hair and he masked his Kajan always says he covered his grief with his hair. He actually done a sponsorship about 2 days beforehand for our organisation, Jacinta's Smile, and he shaved his head. So when we seen him in the morgue, we were like, don't know if that's him.
We were still hoping it wasn't.
How did he die?
So he basically went home. He was in work that day in the radio station on the Wednesday, and he went home. He probably didn't eat.
When did you reinter Declan?
That's the Wednesday.
Yeah, right. And he decided he didn't want to be there.
Yeah. So he went to work and then he came back that day, or he went home. He went to maybe Lidl or somewhere and got some cans. He got a lot of cans of whatever beer it was. And he went home and he drank them all. And he drank a large amount of cans in a small space of time. And he didn't wake up.
We went to his inquest, so we knew when Fintan died that it wasn't intentional because he was in such a good headspace, bar that day. Yeah. But he was in general, in a good headspace. So we had to wait for the inquest and we went and they told us, yeah, it wasn't intentional. He literally had a lot of beer and it was only lager. In a short space of time.
So it was alcohol poisoning.
It was alcohol poisoning.
Misadventure to alcohol in the coroner's report.
Misadventure.
Yeah. And he died in his sleep.
Yeah. So he wasn't able to cope with what was going on that day, which is completely understandable.
I can completely understand your dad's reaction to the guard right at the house. Disbelief.
Yeah.
How could this sort of tragedy visit you three times?
Yeah. No idea.
And Charnas was on FaceTime at the time.
I was again in Oxford and I had rang Daddy because I'd seen he was online, so I just kind of FaceTimed him. And I seen that there was these yellow jackets in the background of the thing and
the kitchen.
In the background of the kitchen. And he just said, Fintan's dead. And I said, oh, no, he's not. So I hung up and I rang back again. And then I obviously had to make my way home. So I rang the two girls and I said, just keep your heart beating.
Yeah, don't die.
I was petrified they were going to die. Yeah. Like, I was petrified.
How does that affect? I just can't imagine because it's grief upon grief upon grief.
Yeah,
and you know it's worse than three times one death. I would imagine
because we compounded. Had to do three funerals. We had to organise three funerals, three anniversaries, three birthdays, three of everything, and it's every year. There's always something you don't get a break from it.
It's relentless.
It's constant. Yeah.
So ye are channeling your grief, your enormous grief, into this organisation. You mentioned it already, Jacinta Smile.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the aim of the organisation, Aisling?
The aim is basically to try and help children like us and try and help children like Fintan as he was a child, to let them know that they're not isolated, they're not on their own, that this is literally the worst thing that can happen, but we can still live. We can still try and carry on, even though it's so hurtful. It's so difficult. So basically, when we were growing up, we did go to some counselling, but there was very little available. And after Jacinta died, I looked for help for myself and I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find what I was looking for. And a family friend asked, could they run the Dublin Marathon just after Jacinta died in her memory? And we were like, oh yeah, that's lovely. And then I said to the girls, hey girls, what do you reckon if we ran it with them? And raised a bit of money, but we didn't know what to raise the money for. So anyway, we ran the Dublin Marathon. It was an absolute nightmare. I hated every second
never
of it.
Never do it again. Don't
never again. We're not runners.
Yeah.
But we did raise this money for this organisation. Our family, and in particular our dad, has done an awful lot of fundraising for the likes of Beaumont and Crumlin Children Hospital. So we'd done that before and we wanted to do something more so for the children that are living with this grief as opposed to the children that have gone, because we know, like for us, it was just a tsunami of bad thing after bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And that's every day. Yeah. It just doesn't go away. Mm. So
like when your child dies, your sibling, that's not normal.
No. Yeah.
Like it's not normal. And we're trying to allow the kids that we meet and the young adults to be like, this is not normal, it's not right.
And to meet others with common experiences.
Absolutely, to be in the same situation.
So what are you organising in April then?
So in April, we have a weekend of events. So basically on Saturday, the 27th of April, we have children. We're inviting children between the ages of 7 to 17 to come along with us to Petersburg in Mayo. And basically...
And they have lost a brother or sister, yes. Specifically a sibling.
They've lost a sibling, and they're coming along to meet other children who've also lost a sibling. Because we've done this now for 2 years, and it's amazing to see the children when they get together. They literally are kicking a football, going out and doing an activity on the water, and at the same time they're talking about what happened to your brother, what happened to your sister. Okay. So they're not in a confined space of a therapy room.
So it's nearly normal, although in this environment is normal.
Yeah,
it's
normalizing it.
Yes, normalizing. And they have fun. They have a lot of fun. And
will you stay with us? I have to take a commercial break. We have restrictions here, so I have to take a commercial break, and we'll talk a little bit more after that. So quick break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I'm speaking to Katie Ann Ashley and Charlotte O'Toole from Roscommon, and they have lost two brothers and a sister over the last 21 years, I suppose it is, 21 years. And they now have an organisation called Jacinta's Smile in memory of their sister, Jacinta. And it's a sibling bereavement support, and they're running a weekend Saturday 27th of April and Sunday 28th of April. The Saturday is for children between 8 and 17, and then the Sunday is for young adults. And how do people get in contact with you?
Yeah, they just we have a website, so they can have a look and see if they like the look of us and if they want to come along. But it's www.jacinthasmile.ie. We also have an email address, info@jacinthasmile.ie. Okay. And our direct mobile will be 087-422-0000.
And
just give us a ring.
Okay. The Facebook page, you'll find out a lot of information there. And there's some videos from last year that you get a real sense of what the day's about.
Right. Yeah. And Katie Ann, you got married how long ago?
This day last month.
Yeah, and big family occasions like that must be bittersweet occasions.
I find it really, really, really difficult. I'm smiling when you say that, but then... the lead up to the wedding was really hard because I missed Jacinta. Mostly Jacinta at that time, because she should have been at the top with me and the two girls.
And she was the fun one, was she?
She was so
She was so much fun.
She wouldn't have went to bed. She was good crack.
We would have been given out to her because she'd be the last one standing. But
she'd be a mess.
she was always so much fun.
Just that... oozes confidence, just oozed confidence.
Ethan is Jacinta's son.
Yeah.
What age is he now?
Ethan is now 14.
Right.
He was 11 when she died, and he now lives with our parents.
And how is he?
I would say he's struggling.
We're worried about him at the moment.
Okay. And this is why we do stuff like this, because we can see. So he's lost his uncle and his mother, and he's now been taken. He's taken out of his home and put into ours.
Yeah,
he's got a lot going on, and he's a teenager, so there's so much going on.
And you have little Bobby.
I do, yeah.
And you're expecting again.
Yep.
The circle of life.
Yeah. Thank God, because even Bobby is just amazing for our family. Because even today, our mum will be at home listening with her cup of coffee, and then she's going up to the creche to collect Bobby.
What age is Bobby?
He's 11 months.
Right.
And she will squeeze him, squeeze and kiss him, because she just, you need that. It's really needed.
Yeah. Hugs are so important, aren't they?
So important.
I don't know how you're still, standing, sitting, living, but you have to carry on, don't you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We've no choice.
That's it. There's no other option, really, is there?
Yeah. It's really hard, but that's what we want these children and young adults to know, that they're not on their own. Bad things do happen to good people, and we're just trying as well as we possibly can to...
make it.
We struggle. It's really difficult. So,
you have your brave faces on today.
Yeah, we put on the smiles and the makeup, and Charlotte's wearing her shoes that make her feel confident. Ashling's wearing her professional ones, and I'm in comfort. So, we have our little things to keep us going.
Right. So, leave us the Facebook thing, and we'll give it out again. And it's info@jacinthasmile.ie.
So, Jacinta's Smile, it's not just activities, we do provide counselling as well, and there is an ongoing journey that these children are going to go on which sent the smile. So we probably don't have time, we can go into that again, and it's all on the website, but it's continuous support.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, that can't have been easy for you. Thanks very much, Katie Ann,
thank you,
Aisling and Charlotte,
thank you
very much
for having us, Ray.